So I ask you to turn your Bibles. I ask you to turn your Bibles to Proverbs 29. We'll be there in a moment. Okay. If you're visiting with us again, I want to welcome you to the Garden State Church, where we are trying to plant Christ in every community. And it is such an exciting thought to just dream and see Christ planted in every community here in New Jersey. And I know that's not a big deal for God to do, but it's exciting to think about seeing it done. And if you're visiting with us this morning, again, we are delighted that you came to worship with us here. You know, yesterday I celebrated my 48th birthday. That's 2 years away from 50. I appreciated all the encouragement from phone messages, text messages, Facebook. And, you know, if it weren't enough, tomorrow I will be married 24 years.
All right.
My wife. My wife. And, you know, we were driving in this morning, Mason and I said, you know, I knew I was going to marry your mom when I was 12. And I'm not kidding. I had this little dresser in my bedroom, and my brother remembers I scratched on the back, PM plus SH. And did a little thing. I was like, man, I wish I could find that. But, you know, it's been amazing. Sari, it's been amazing. What a journey we have been on here. You know, I really want to thank God, because I know we wouldn't be here if it weren't for what's going on here.
Yeah.
And the relationships, the promises, the words, church. It just amazes me because, you know, each day we're getting closer to heaven.
All right.
And as you get older, I don't know if this is by purpose or what, you start thinking a little differently. You say, hey, the clock is ticking. We got things to do. We got places to go. There's no time to be fooling around. And I've been studying the topic that the married men, we're going to be diving into this a little more in our upcoming midweeks. But, you know, there's a scripture that says in Proverbs 29, verse 25, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. Amen. You know, fear of man will prove to be a snare. A snare, what is a snare? A snare is a device used for capturing small animals or anything serving to entrap or entangle someone. Fear of man has many different faces and names. You know, in the teenage world, campus world, you might call it peer pressure. Am I going to fit in? Am I going to, you know, not be laughed at? Is it okay to be different and deal with that? In the adult world, it's called people pleasing. Trying to make everybody happy. Trying to, you know, not crack the boat. And it just has all different faces. But when you look in the Bible, consider how much of a problem this is. Abraham, the father of faith, was so afraid to tell the king that Sarah was his wife, So he lied and said, "Hun, tell him that you're my sister." And he did it twice. Moses, he saw some injustice done. He goes, he kills a man, puts him in the sand, and then he finds out that he's been found out, and he runs from Pharaoh. Aaron, leader of the people of God, the priest, the people pressure him, and he decides to build a golden calf. Well, that's what they wanted. And so, got the medal, got the stuff, and out came a calf. Ananias and Sapphira wanted to look good in front of people. So they lied, and then they died. Because of the fear of man. Peter, approached by slave girls, is asked a question. Don't you know this guy, Jesus? Don't know him. Never seen him. Don't know what you're talking about. Denied him 3 times. You know, fear of man has different names. Yesterday I got one of my happy birthdays was from an old high school teammate. And it was on Facebook, and he goes, "Happy birthday, Reverend Russ." Now, I'm surprised. I haven't seen John in 30 years. But John knows I'm a minister. And the thing that went through my mind, I'm like, oh, you know, I hope they don't think I'm like one of these ministers with the long robe. That's a version of the fear of man. Feel me? What do people think about me? You might be overly concerned about how you look. You might be afraid of making mistakes. You might be easily embarrassed in the eyes of other people. Whatever the case might be, this is all throughout the scriptures. And this is something that we have to constantly keep dealing with, because it's one thing that we've got to continue to remember. God is bigger than people.
Yeah. All right.
And I love what Ralph shared. I love what he said. God is bigger than people. And we must keep our God bigger than people to overcome the fear of man. Let's go to our Father in heaven. Our God in heaven, we thank you again for this time that we have together. Please help us as we study your word to be inspired about what you have to say to us. Father, we want to grow in our trust in you. We want to be men like Abraham, who's willing to sacrifice his son because he trusted you so much. We want to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not compromise, but rather be thrown into the furnace and burn than to deny who you were. God, thank you so much that we can have your son Jesus as the ultimate example, that he entrusted himself to you, and you judged justly, and Father, he did your will, and Father, you were much, much pleased with it. We love you, we thank you, and we pray all this in your son's name. Amen. The title of the lesson this morning is Grow in Your Trust in the Lord. So how do you grow in your trust in the Lord? Turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to read verse 7 through 4. And this is a familiar story about Samuel. It says in verse 4, then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call you, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Verse 6, 1 Samuel 3, verse 6. Again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10, the Lord came and stood there. I just love that. He came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." You know, my first point this morning, and how do we grow in our trust in God, is we seek to know Him. I want to ask a question here. This morning, are you a seeker? Are you a seeker? You may be visiting for the first time. You may have grown up in the church. But are you a seeker? When God called Samuel, he didn't recognize God's voice because he didn't know him. In fact, he was confused, and he went to Eli. And Eli, you know, had to help him out and said, "Oh, I know what's happening. The Lord is calling you." And then he says, "Go back, lie down. If he calls again, here's what you said." And sure enough, God called. And he said, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." Sometimes we get more focused on people who are maybe introducing us to God rather than the God who's trying to reach out to us. See, when you're seeking God, you got to remember, I'm trying to get to know God.
Yeah.
And sometimes we can be inspired and encouraged by the people who are helping us that we forget. We're getting to know God.
Right.
And what happens sometimes in those situations is that we know a whole lot more about what somebody else says about God and what somebody else believes about God and what somebody else has experienced about God, but we're not focused on knowing Him for ourselves. And so if you're seeking this morning, I am so glad you're doing that. Because God wants to be found by you. God wants to know you intimately. In fact, he says, "I have a plan for your life, a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, a plan to give you hope, a plan to give you a future. I got big plans for you. In fact, they're bigger than what you have for yourself. But you got to seek me to know me." You can't put your trust in someone that you don't know. And the more and more you get to know God, the more and more you're going to trust Him. I want you to listen to a letter that a brother wrote to God. He says, "Dear God, the one that is omnipresent, omniscient, the one who listens to our prayers at all times and in any situation, and through prayers, miraculous things happen. My feelings for you are unexplainable. My emotions are indescribable. Now that I have been baptized into Christ and born again, I feel great knowing that I will be with you forever. I realized I was living in a sinful world among sinners, and getting to know the truth through the Bible makes me realize my mistakes, and from that moment on, I turned myself to you, Father, which was an excellent decision. Now that my sins are washed away, I can start a new life." Amen. And then he goes on and he says, "You know, my heart, my soul, my everything belongs to you, Jesus. so you can use me in your holy ways, and that by making, helping me to make others like you, that I am now a fisher of men. And then he goes on and he says, brothers, it's an honor and privilege to serve our God, and it's not a burden. Love your son, Dion Watson.
All right, Dion.
If you're a seeker, please continue to seek him. As I said, he has a plan. And as you listen to Dion's letter, he found his Savior. He found his God. He found his friend. You know, Psalm 9, verse 10 says, those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. So one thing is for sure, if you seek God, oh boy, he is going to be found by you. But let's make sure we keep seeking him and not what he can give us. Let's keep seeking him and not seek success or other things that's going to make us feel good or quote unquote complete us. Keep seeking him. Are you with me, church? Once you seek him and find him, your natural response is that I want to share him with others. So secondly, share him with others. Turn over to John chapter 4. Are you with me? John chapter 4. We're talking about how do we grow in our trust in the Lord. Secondly, share him with others. John 4, verse 25 and 26, and then we'll skip down to 39 and 42. This is a story about the woman at the well. And again, you can look at it later in more detail. But the woman has been having this conversation with Jesus. She asked him, hey, you know, you don't have anything to draw water from. And he tells her, hey, I have water that you want. And she says, you know, give me some of this water. And then they get into a conversation. And then she kind of reveals that she's a seeker. She says in verse 25, the woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I am he. Skip down to verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And I love this part. Verse 42. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. The woman at the well found what she was really, really looking for. She found the Messiah. And when Jesus says to her, I am he, I can't imagine just how she must have been shocked. But then it says that this woman, she had a pretty complicated life. She had 5 husbands. And the man she was now living with was not her husband. She was going through some stuff. But the thing that blows me away, because I'm sure everybody kind of knew her situation, is that she goes back to the town. And they seen something that was different about her. What did they see? They saw excitement. They saw joy. saw freedom. They saw satisfaction. A weary soul that had been quenched. But I think more than that, they saw a forgiven soul. I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Romans 5. Turn to Romans 5 for a minute. You know, the scripture says in Romans 5, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. This woman experienced something in this interaction with Jesus that filled her up. That she went back, in my opinion, to her town, excited, telling people, I found him. He told me this, he told me that. And in her joy, in her excitement, the people stopped whatever they were doing and they came. And they said, we got to see what is going on. You know, God fills us. Is what the scripture here in Romans says. You know, when you stop and just think about what delights you about God, and you just think about it, it fills you. This woman was so full of God that she could not keep it to herself. And when you're in that situation, when you're in that state, now here we are on this side of the cross. We've now been given the Holy Spirit. We have the scriptures from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. But let me ask you, what is filling your mind this morning, last week? What's filling your heart? What's your deepest desire? Is it making God happy? Is it pleasing our Lord? Or are you thinking about how you messed up? Are you thinking about, like I do, how we paid for college? You know, sometimes when you stop and you think about what Ralph shared, I mean, oh man, that was so moving. It was so moving. Forgiveness of our sins, our souls being right with the Lord. What else is there to have? What greater gift is that? Is there? A couple scriptures I want to encourage you to jot these down. Ezekiel 18:22. He says, none of the offenses they have committed will be remembered against him. John 14, verse 27, 28. I am with you. Amen. In Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You know, when you know him, you can't stop talking about him. You know, this woman was not concerned about the fact that everybody knew her business. She was going to tell her God, to tell about her relationship with Jesus. You know, she didn't say, well, I'm struggling spiritually. I'm not doing well. You know, I realized something. If I think that I can only help somebody when everything is going well, I don't understand God's love.
All right.
If I have to be doing what? And what does that look like? I have a quiet time every day. I gave my contribution. I shared my faith. I did this. I did that. Now I can share with people. because I am consistent. That's not where this woman was coming from. But you know, we can get mixed up and not understand that grace that forgives us. But again, it goes back to what we taught, fear of man. Sometimes we're thinking way too much about us. We talk ourselves out of actually talking to people. And you end up coming up with excuses and, well, I had an experience the other day. I'm at a, you know, track meet, and I'm talking to this guy. Now, I knew who this guy was. He didn't know who I was. So I've been watching the Suns run, and so I knew him. But I didn't know, you know, a whole lot about him. And so, man, he's talking to me, and he's flim-flamming and cussing and all kinds of stuff. And I'm just like, okay. And so we're having a conversation, and you know, I said, what do you do? And he tells me what he does, and he's, you know, investment banker. And he says, what do you do? He said, I'm a minister. We go through a whole long thing. He gets religious. Well, you know, I grew up down in such and such. And, you know, he starts. But this was the funny thing. I was tempted not to invite him to church. Because he's an investment banker. And he does commercial this and commercial that. And so at the end, I'm like, okay, what are you going to do, Russ? I said, hey, John, listen, we meet in Clifton at the high school. I'd love for you to come. And he goes, thank you very much, but I'm not coming to your church. You know, I appreciated the realness because I don't need to waste my time asking him for his number. But it made me feel funny. You know, put yourself out there and they just reject you. But, okay, but they're not rejecting me. Let's not take that person. Who are they rejecting? They're hurting their own selves because they don't know what's available. They don't see all of this. They don't realize it. What am I saying? God has got to become bigger than people. When God is bigger than people, you see things differently. You act differently. You talk differently. And you know what your greatest desire is? I want to please my Father in heaven. I want people to know him. Lovely Art Studio. That was a dream. Lee and Lovely Tang moved here 3 years ago from the Philadelphia church. God has worked in an amazing way because this was a dream. Our dear sister is incredibly talented. And I asked her, I said, so how did this happen? You know, and she says, you know, it was a lot of prayer, it was a lot of faith, and a lot of action. I prepared for the day that God would bless me with a studio space. It took about a year, but today we have an art studio 2 minutes from my home. My youngest son goes to the arts class every day to create with his friends. My husband and I host many community and church events in our space, and we want to bring glory to God and make him known in our community. Studios introducing the community in Bloomfield to Jesus. A lot of us are doing similar type things. It may be our Bible talk. It might be our community Sunday. But my point is, we got to keep this mindset that we are giving away what God's given to us. We're sharing him. We're sharing our marriages. We're sharing our mistakes. But we're constantly trying to help people understand what you think is so impressive, this is where it came from. Right. What you think is so awesome, this is where it came from. And like the woman at the well, let's just keep telling those around us and in our community, we found the Messiah. Church, can I give you a challenge? We're going to wrap it up here. But this is with you and God. Ask God to teach you about his love so that you can both know it and get it. And then ask other people to pray for you as you seek him, to know him better. Are you with me, church? As we conclude this morning, let's remember what we heard. Whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Growing in our trust in the Lord comes from seeking God and knowing him intimately. Be a seeker. Seek God. If you're interested and you want to study the Bible, man, wave your hand. Ask the person that came with you. I want to get to know this God better. Secondly, let's share our relationship with God like the woman at the well who was filled with God's love. And as we do that, let's tell our friends, let's tell our kids, let's tell our families, let's tell our neighbors, let's tell our enemies. Let's tell everybody about his forgiveness and what he has taught us. Let's grow in our trust in the Lord, and he will keep us safe. Amen.